Hi everyone, thank you for joining the webinar today on Fulbright Scholar Program Opportunities in the STEM Fields. My name is Peter Rauschy. I'm an outreach officer at the Institute of International Education, and I focus on the Western Hemisphere and also in STEM recruitment. I'm joined today by my colleague, May Anthony.
Hi everyone, it's a pleasure to be here.
So May and I are going to give a, we're going to give a brief overview of the Fulbright program, dig into what's available across all the disciplines of the STEM fields, and then leave lots of time for question and answer. So what I want to do, though, I always like to start these webinars giving you a sense of some general information about the Fulbright program. So why don't we go to the next slide. And on this next slide, we'll see some of the inspiration for the Fulbright program. So it was established in 1946 by then junior Senator J. William Fulbright to really strengthen the connection between people of the United States and citizens of the rest of the world. There are lots of super interesting historical insights into the inspiration of the program. And this resonates with what makes a strong application today. Understanding that, yes, we're supporting cutting edge, groundbreaking teaching and research projects across all academic disciplines, but grounding that in the sense that as a Fulbrighter, you are an ambassador. And this is all about building and fostering mutual understanding between people of the United States and citizens of the rest of the world. The Fulbright program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, and it's administered by the Institute of International Education in the U.S. On this next slide, we're going to talk about some general eligibility for the scholar program, keeping in mind that we have 471 awards and each has its own parameters. But a baseline eligibility is what we're going to discuss on this slide. So you do have to be a U.S. citizen for the U.S. scholar program. If you're not a U.S. citizen, there is the visiting scholar program, which brings international scholars to the United States. But for the U.S. scholar program, for U.S. citizens to travel abroad, you know, that's required for the U.S. scholar program. Each award will have its own parameters, as I mentioned, and there may be degree requirements that are unique to specific awards. Many awards require a PhD or other terminal degree, although many awards are open to applicants with a master's degree and professional or academic experience. Recent master's degree recipients and undergraduate degree holders are generally eligible for the Fulbright U.S. Student Program, which is a different program than the U.S. Scholar Program. So if you've recently gotten your bachelor's degree or recently gotten your master's degree, you may want to look at the Fulbright U.S. Student Program. We're going to focus on the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program in this webinar. Across the catalog, we have awards open for professionals, practitioners outside of academia, artists. So really, there's so many, a wide variety of awards available in the catalog. If you're applying for a teaching award, a baseline eligibility requirement is usually some amount of teaching experience. It's, if there's a particularity of what the award is looking for, that'll be written into the award description, and you know, how many years teaching or experience teaching this type of subject or things of that nature. Then there are new policies on previous Fulbright scholar grants. There used to be a limit on the number of Fulbright grants you could receive in your lifetime. There is no longer a limit. However, you do have to wait 2 years from the end of one Fulbright U.S. Scholar Grant until applying for another Fulbright U.S. Scholar Grant. On this next slide, we'll see some scope about the core Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, which is what we're going to focus on. Generally, these awards support teaching, research, or a combination of teaching and research, and they're anywhere from 3 to 12 months generally. Programs are active in over 125 different countries, and many our awards are really for faculty, administrators, and professionals. Aggregately across the catalog of awards, our awards are open to all disciplines, but not every award will be open to all disciplines. And we'll get into some of what an all disciplines award means, and also contrast that with more specialized awards. You do have to pick an award and apply to that specific award with a proposed project, and our application deadline is August 1st. Now on this next slide, I want to talk about some considerations that you may not have thought of about how you can make a Fulbright work for you. The first thing I want to talk about is the flex option. So many of our awards require that you're away for the full length of the grant, whatever the grant may be, 3 months, 9 months, whatever the case may be. Many of our awards require that you're there for the entire length of the grant. Many of our awards, though, offer a flex option, meaning that you can segment your grant activity over multiple visits over 2 years. So, and we'll actually show you in the catalog how to search for flex options. Also, what is your profile? Do we have awards that are appropriate for folks that are postdoc, early career, all the way up to distinguished chair and everything in between? We have a number of multi-country awards. Most of our awards are to go to one specific country, but about a dozen of our awards are feature multi-country aspect to them. One of them is the Global Scholar Award, where you visit two or three different countries, but they must be in two different world regions. There are many awards that do not require a home university affiliation in the United States, so you want to make sure that you check the parameters of the award, but many of our awards don't require that you have a home institution. We welcome applications from artists, from professionals, practitioners outside of academia, independent scholars, scholars emeritus. You know, depending on the award parameters, there is likely to be an award for you. On this next slide, I'm going to introduce the sort of award highlights that we're going to dig into. We have close to 200 awards across our catalog of awards in all manner of different STEM specializations. STEM awards are available in about 96 countries, including some global awards. Many awards directly feature STEM projects. For example, the Science and Technology Awards in the Western Hemisphere, you'll find in Argentina, in Mexico, in Chile, there are Science and Technology Awards where that's a sort of wide rubric, but they're really focused on STEM-oriented projects. And then even more specialized awards, so there are a number of cybersecurity awards in Iceland. You know, so these are very focused on STEM either broadly or even more specifically. But then there are all disciplines awards that can support STEM projects. So you may want to look at India, for example, which has an all-discipline award. There are 45 grants under that award, meaning that under that one award, India will fund up to, Fulbright India will fund up to, 45 folks to conduct activities in that award, and they're open to all disciplines, which includes STEM. Even though they don't directly feature the STEM field, you can be accommodated with a STEM project in the India All Disciplines Award. Many of the Western Hemisphere awards, for example, in Central America, in the Caribbean, they're all disciplines awards, but they either are open to STEM, or some of them, even though they're all disciplines awards, have preferences for STEM fields and preferences for particular specializations in the STEM fields. Now, when we will archive this webinar, and I will send a slide deck to everyone that is attending, and this link, this full list of awards, that sort of blue hyperlink, that will be included, and then you can pull up the catalog of awards and see every award that features or supports projects in the STEM fields. That is a hyperlinked link right there. And with that, I want to hand over the presentation to my colleague, May, to dig into some of the different specializations in the STEM fields.
Peter, thank you so much for that very, very thorough presentation. So as you all know, the term STEM is an umbrella term that comprises many disciplines and sub-disciplines. For the purpose of today's webinar, we'll focus primarily on technology, engineering, science, and math. Fulbright has more of a focus than ever to encourage individuals in the STEM field like yourself to consider impactful collaboration through research and teaching. On your screen here, you will see some examples of past STEM projects. You can also view more examples of STEM projects on our Fulbright Scholar Directory. Just to give you an idea of the types of projects that people pursue, but I do want to iterate that there are so many different opportunities for individuals in the STEM field, and more than likely there is an opportunity for you. And in terms of why you might want to pursue a project through Fulbright with a STEM focus, it can help you re-examine past work that you've done, gain a new perspective of the U.S. from students and colleagues, begin new directions for research and teaching, and also help important goals like Fulbright's goal of promoting mutual understanding and diplomacy. So I'm going to walk through some awards that we've picked out. I do want to let you know that We have many, many more awards that are similar. This is just a snapshot of some of the opportunities we have. So the goal here isn't to say that we only have 5 agricultural awards. What I'm showing you here is that we have many opportunities. Here's a snapshot of some of the opportunities we have, and I will go into detail into some of them, but this is really just a really broad overview. So we'll start with agriculture. So agriculture touches on science, technology, engineering, and math. We have some really great opportunities in agriculture, especially in my region, Sub-Saharan Africa, where it is a priority discipline for many of our countries. One example is the award to Rwanda, which is a 6 to 10 month grant that offers the opportunity to teach undergraduate courses in the preferred specializations listed, STEM, medical sciences, agriculture, for example. The scholars will assist in curriculum development, faculty training, student advising, and also practice supervision. And again, you can see a full list of the opportunities once we send out this PowerPoint. Next, I'll give a brief overview of biology and natural sciences. So as you can see, we have awards from all sorts of countries, lots of different opportunities, including a postdoctoral award, as well as more specific ones like the biomechanics in Spain. The postdoctoral award to Australia is open to academics from multiple disciplines with research to be conducted at the University of Newcastle, which is a research leader in the fields of health, engineering, and energy. It's been updated to accommodate a wider range of applicants in fields related to health and science. And there also is contact information for the Office of the Pro Vice Chancellor. So you can, if you need help with a letter of invitation for this one, which we'll briefly go into later what that means, we do have contact information, which is wonderful. Next, I'll just touch really briefly on chemistry. So as you can see, some of these awards are quite broad, so it will say science and technology, for example. So we'll go into a little bit more about how Fulbright structures its awards, but essentially some opportunities will just, it's really important to search in terms of broad disciplines instead of just putting your really, really specific disciplines. And we'll go through a catalog walkthrough to show you exactly what we mean with that. But for example, you'll see some awards just say sciences, and of course many things fall under sciences. But that's just something to keep in mind. One of the awards, I'll just talk about the Sciences Award for Egypt. It's a 3 to 9 month grant which offers the opportunity to conduct research and or teach for approximately 12 hours weekly. And preferred disciplines include computer science and information technology, biotechnology, engineering, public health, nursing, pharmacy, chemistry, biology, dental health, botany, agriculture, bioinformatics, physics, zoology, geology, environmental sciences, nutrition, and energy. And don't worry if you didn't get all that. It is on our website, and we will be sharing this PowerPoint. Next, we just have some information in some award opportunities in computer science. I do want to point out the award to Botswana. It is the first year that this award is being offered. It's a really exciting award in cybersecurity and digital forensic. With engineering, we have a lot of really interesting opportunities. The next slide after this, I'll talk about opportunities with environmental science and engineering. So this is just very broad as well. So for example, one award that we have is the Cote d'Ivoire Mechanical Engineering and Technology Instruction. They're looking for a scholar to teach undergraduate courses in mechanical engineering, technology, and possibly math. The program is new, so they're looking for someone who's comfortable in contributing to a new program where students will need to be recruited and not all of the equipment is at hand. The scholar should be willing to work with people who may be able to suggest local alternatives for teaching situations, including local industries. So another thing I would mention, while you're considering Fulbright grants, make sure that you look at the context of the region that you're applying to. For example, talking to people who've already been to that region to see, you know, what the teaching environment or research environment is like, and thinking through what you'll need to get the work done that you'd like to propose. share some opportunities with environmental science. So we do have several awards with environmental studies, environmental engineering. And this is just a quick snapshot. The opportunity to Ukraine offers a 5 to 10 month grant for scholars in all grant activity options, teaching, research, as well as a combination of both. Preferred disciplines include agriculture, biological science, and environmental science. And there's also several specializations that they're looking for. So next, physics and astronomy. We have many different opportunities, Georgia, Ireland, Mexico, South Africa, and Australia. Again, they're just a snapshot. The award to Georgia is a one-semester teaching or teaching research opportunity, which prefers scholars that specialize in genetics, biology, biodiversity, conservation biology, and environmental management. But it's also open to a much broader range of sciences, which are all listed in the award description. And I think it'll be a lot easier once we walk through the catalog to see what that type of thing means, but sometimes you just have to read through the catalog to see exactly what the opportunity is. And the U.S. Embassy just also wanted to make a note that they're happy to play an advisory role in the process should anyone have any questions about potential host institutions, which is great. In medical sciences and public health, we have many different kinds of opportunities. Again, since I work in Sub-Saharan Africa, I'll mention it, but public health is a big priority for us as well, but it is just a big priority in general across the Fulbright world. So here's just a quick snapshot, and you'll see that it's quite diverse, so even within that, for example, midwifery education is a very specific award that we are hoping to see applications in. And here's just a quick snapshot as well. I just wanted to point out that a lot of our opportunities are multidisciplinary, so it's great to be open so just a lot of them are multidisciplinary. And I wanted to point out on here, I think Peter mentioned this earlier, you can also find opportunity within All Disciplines Award. Sometimes All Disciplines Awards, you can really just apply if you're a scholar from any discipline, but they will also often mention specific preferred disciplines, and it would make your application more competitive if you're applying to a place that's looking for someone with your preferred background. And I'll just give a brief overview of one of these. So the COSIPO Ministry of Education, Science, and Technology project. If you're interested in science and or technology policy, specifically within engineering, this shorter 3 to 5 month long research only opportunity might be right for you. Unlike some of the more traditionally university placements as a host, this grant is hosted at the Ministry of Education, Science and Technology of the Republic of Kosovo's Department of Science and Technology. Kosovo is expected to pass the Law on Innovation and Transfer of Knowledge and Technology in 2018. MESP intends to host a Fulbright scholar focused on technology policy to help develop policy that will encourage technology developments, including improving the financial and institutional infrastructure to support these developments. So we have just a host of wonderful opportunities, and I'd really encourage you to look through our catalog and see the opportunity that would be a good fit for you. And with that, I will pass it back to Peter to talk a little bit more about the nitty-gritty, you know, things like application resources and timeline.
And before I dive into the webinar further, what I want to do, Nate, if you're able to pull up the catalog, I want to actually demonstrate the catalog of awards and show our attendees how they can search for these different parameters.
Sure.
So here we have our discipline page. We have a lot of discipline highlights. So there's general information. And when we say STEM, we mean an umbrella of fields. You really want to dig down into the specialization that we're researching. On our catalog of awards, there is no option for STEM per se. So you want to search by chemistry, or you want to search by physics, or you'll want to search by public health, for example. You want to dig into the sort of broader specialization. STEM is such a big umbrella. But if we go to the actual catalog of awards, I can show you how you can find information. So this is the front page of our catalog, awards.cis.org. And this gives you very, very broad search criteria. So you can search by region, you can search by country, you can search by discipline. What I like to do is search by all awards. So just hit that big orange button, and that will pull up all of the awards available. And we see we have 471 awards available in the catalog. So on the left-hand navigation, there are lots of search criteria. You can search by region, you can search by country, you can search if an award offers a multi-country aspect, you can search by discipline, you can search by activity. There are lots of different criteria. So why don't we search for awards, for example, in chemistry? So let's go open the discipline search function. So if you go to the discipline function, that opens up and you'll find all manner of different awards. So if we select chemistry, then we do search awards, you'll see the 58 awards that either feature or support awards in chemistry. So let's open the Poland Award, the STEM Science and Technology Award. That's the first award that comes up. Let's look at that. So when you click the award landing, you see there are four tabs. There's award details, award requirements, award benefits, and a country area overview. So let's look at this award. Let's get some information about this award. This award, there are 7 grants under this award, meaning that this award will support up to 7 grantees. This award supports projects that feature just teaching, just research, or a combination of teaching and research. This award, under category, on the right-hand side, you can see this award is open to all levels of scholar, including early career, and a PhD for this particular award is not required. You can see under the grant length that this award is for anywhere from 3 to 9 months, and there's some specializations and insight on, further information about grant dates. As we scroll down on the catalog, we'll see more information. So this award offers a flex option. And we talked about that. So you're able to segment your grant following the parameters under the flex description. And if you scroll down, you'll see the supported disciplines that this award features. So it features agriculture, anthropology, engineering, computer science, chemistry, medical sciences, urban planning, a whole host of different awards. A whole host of different disciplines, rather. So if you scroll up, you'll see the different tabs. So under award requirements, that's a different tab. This is something that will open up more information. So we see that for this award, a letter of invitation is preferred. This means that you don't have to have a letter of invitation, but if you can get one, it is preferable. And I think that's actually helpful because you want to make a connection with the host institution in Poland, and they'll be able to help you set the parameters of what your proposal is. You should be having a dialogue with them. For language requirements, and many of our awards feature language requirements, if you can scroll up a little bit, for this award, all teaching will be done in English. Polish language ability, if applicable, must be commensurate with the project's requirements. So it's great that you can teach in English. If you don't have Polish, I wouldn't frame the project so that you needed to have Polish if you didn't have a way of getting around that. And that's something that you'll want to address in the proposal. We want to understand what your plan is to actually accomplish what you're proposing. So it's really key that you you address that. And for this, if you're teaching English is fine, but if you are designing a project that requires you to have Polish, you should have Polish or some way of getting around the language requirements to actually accomplish the goals of your project. PhD is required from academics only at the time of application. For qualified professionals without a PhD, a minimum of 10 years of professional experience is required. Preference is given to candidates who have an established host institution in Poland and potential for producing tangible results, disseminating via conferences, seminars, papers. This is actually great, great information. And then if you scroll down, you see other helpful links. We have a contact at the Polish U.S. Fulbright Commission. We have other links the Ministry of Science and Higher Education in Poland and other things in Poland. And then on the right, you see our team member who's handling this award, Aparajita Krasniqi, and you have her contact information. So if there's questions you have about this award, you can reach out to our team and we can help you get further information. So if we scroll up again, we see award benefits. You see the general frame of what the award could provide. We don't confer actual dollar amounts until the actual grant is conferred, but this is a good idea of a range. And then the last tab is a country overview, which gives you a sense of the country and how it fits into the Fulbright program. So I want to do one more search using a keyword. So if we pull out of this the Poland STEM Science and Technology Award, let's reset the search criteria. And let's search for the word cancer. So say you wanted to have a project that featured cancer. Let's type in the word cancer in a keyword search and see what comes up in the catalog. So there are five awards specific. So what a keyword search means is that the word cancer is in the award description somewhere. There are five awards that directly have the word cancer somewhere in the award description. These aren't the only awards that you'll be able to have a cancer-focused project on, but these are very, very focused on cancer. So let's open the All Disciplines Award in Sudan, just to get a sense of what an All Disciplines Award is. So again, you get the same four tabs that you would for any award, and you get the information, grant length, grant dates. You scroll down, there's going to be more information. And here we see applications are sought in all appropriate disciplines. They encourage applications. So under the sort of specializations, the application projects are encouraged in fields like science and technology, food security, and then you can see cancer research is one of their preferred specializations. But you could apply to this award really under any academic field. But for those who are interested in cancer research, this is an award that's specifically looking for projects in that field. Now, if you're an American literature professor, you could still apply to this award. It's not one of the preferred specializations, but it's an all disciplines award, so it's open enough that you can apply for something, you know, in any manner of discipline. But if you're interested in cancer research, this could be an award for you. So if we pull back out, I want to look at the UK Cancer Award that came up under this search. So the Fulbright Cancer Research US Scholar Award, this is a very, very focused award. So unlike an all disciplines award, this is very focused. You're at Cancer Research UK, the world's leading charity dedicated to cancer research. You can only do research on this award, so you cannot teach on this award. And then you can see as you scroll and click through the different sections of the award description, you can get different information, things like grant length, grant dates. If we scroll down, let's look to see if there's any more information that we can glean. So this is something in the medical sciences, and they're really looking for things very specific to cancer, so early detection, brain cancer, pancreatic cancer, lung cancer. This is a very, very focused award on cancer. So you can see the difference between something that's open-ended, like an all-disciplines award that may or may not have preferences, and then a super, super focused award like this award in the UK. So with that, I want to pull the PowerPoint up and give you some more general information about the Fulbright program, and then take your questions, or I hope you're chatting in questions as we go. We really want to spend lots of time answering questions. So this slide, I won't belabor the slide too much. The fact is that when you're applying for a Fulbright Award, you're not alone. We have a robust set of materials to help you apply for the award. So our website has lots of information, our catalog of awards. We break down every aspect of the application. We have guidelines, we have sample project statements, we have a whole series of webinars. The Fulbright Scholar blog is a great place to go for inspiration, see what your colleagues have done. My Fulbright is a way to indicate to us what your interests are. So you can indicate if you're interested in specific countries or specific disciplines. There's a way to sort of segment the messaging that you get from us. We will send you all of these resources via email to everyone who registered for this webinar, so no need to worry. But again, the main takeaway of this slide is that you are not alone in applying to the Fulbright program. So let's look at the application components. The application components, these are not anything you haven't seen before. It's pretty straightforward. So there's an application form. There's a project statement. We want a CV or resume, letters of reference. So for the project statement, it's a 5-page document that we, you know, that's the scope of your project. You really want to give us a sense of what you're hoping to do, give us a sense of how you plan on doing it, and give us a sense of what you feel the impact will be, why this is a good thing for the U.S., why this is a good thing for your host country, for your host institution, for your home institution in the U.S., giving us a sense of, you know, yes, we want to get a great sense of what your project is, but we also want to understand it in the context of the Fulbright program, meaning, you know, what is the ambassadorial aspect to this? What is the person-to-person diplomacy aspect? The curriculum vitae, generally, we want 6 pages. We'll go up to 8 pages for the Distinguished Chair Award. Letters of reference, we want 3 letters of reference. So these should be your 3 best advocates. We're very open to, you know, not having a particular script of who writes the letters of recommendation. They should be professional and academic generally. If you do have a home institution in the United States, one of the 3 letters should ideally come from your home institution, but that's not a hard and fast rule. If you're applying to a teaching award, an award that features teaching as an activity, one of the 3 letters of recommendation should speak to your capacity as an instructor. The other thing to keep in mind, if you are applying for an award that involves a letter of invitation, the person hosting you, the person writing the letter of invitation, cannot write one of the 3 letters of reference. However, you can have someone else from the host institution that isn't directly hosting you write one of the letters of reference. That could be a good tactic depending on how well you know them and how able they are to articulate why this is a great project and how it fits into the Fulbright program. For, depending on the award, there are additional sort of baseline components. If you're applying for teaching awards, we'll want course outlines or syllabi. 2 to 3 syllabi, they can be classes you have taught, they can be classes you hope to teach. We do want to get a sense of your pedagogy and you know how you are as an instructor. If you're applying for an award that features research, we'll want what we're referring to as a bibliography, but really it's a lit review. It's really giving us a sense that you understand and can articulate the most relevant research related to your project. That's a 3-page document. It can be annotated. It doesn't have to be. If your award requires language proficiency, it will be written into the award description, and you'll want to provide a language proficiency report. These are generally 2-phase reports where you're self-evaluating, and then an external evaluator will submit an evaluation through our application. This is generally someone who is qualified to teach that language, so the head of a language department or you know, a professor of that language. Generally, we're open-ended to you know who you think is qualified to assess you in that language, but it should be someone that is professionally able to teach that language. Letters of invitation. Many of our awards require letters of invitation. As you saw, the Poland Award that preferred a letter of invitation. Some of our awards don't actually, they tell you not to seek letters of invitation. So some of our awards in Canada, for example, they have selected potential host institutions, and you should contact these institutions to talk about your research interest, but you know you don't have to have a letter of invitation, and some awards tell you absolutely do not seek a letter of invitation. Others do require a letter of invitation. Generally, there's some insight, some guidance around letters of invitation written to the award description. For many of the Western Hemisphere awards, and I work so closely on West Ham that I can speak to this very easily, we will list the U.S. Embassy or the Fulbright Commission, and in some cases, for example, in Barbados and Eastern Caribbean, we actually list different potential schools and contacts at those schools. So, you know, there are resources around letters of invitation. If you don't have a contact in the country, you know, we have general guidance, and then depending on the award, there may be more specific guidance. But again, there are awards that don't require a letter of invitation. If you're applying in any field that would require work samples, such as the arts, architecture, writing, and journalism, we'll expect that, and you can upload that into the application. So on this next slide, we're going to talk about a competitive application. And this goes back to the very first slide where we talked about the concept of the Fulbright program and why, you know, what is the DNA, what was the inspiration behind the Fulbright program? Really mutual understanding. So why are you interested in a Fulbright grant? Why are you interested in this particular country as well? What is it about your project that connects and resonates to this country? And you know, why? What is the impact that you're going to have by doing this research in this country? If you're writing a project that could be done anywhere, that's not as strong as a proposal as something that has to be done in Guatemala or has to be done in Denmark or has to be done in Burkina Faso, for example. So you really want to get very specific as to why this makes sense for this country, why this is a good thing for all the stakeholders involved, including yourself. Why is this good for you professionally and academically? We also want you to talk about, you know, how this fits into this, you know, person-to-person diplomacy. That's really, really, again, the bedrock of the Fulbright program. And I say it a lot, I sort of hang out with that point a lot because it's really important. We want to support groundbreaking research, cutting-edge teaching projects, but we want them to be grounded in the sense that you are an ambassador as a Fulbrighter. So on this next slide, we'll go into the sort of general timeline. So our deadline is August 1st, and that's when you hit submit, we receive your applications. What happens after you submit your applications is that we go into peer review. Peer review is a two-phase process, meaning that there are committees that focus on particular disciplines. So if you're submitting a project to Brazil in chemistry, there's a committee that focuses on chemistry, and they will evaluate you by discipline. Then there's a committee that focuses on all applicants that are applying to Brazil. So you have to, you know, what this should tell you is that in this five-page document where you have to explain your project, give us a sense of, you know, how you're going to accomplish it, and addressing the ambassadorial diplomatic aspects of it, you also have to write for two different audiences. So you have to write for folks that are experts in your field, but then you also have to write for folks that are generalists but specialists in that particular country or region. So you want to make sure that you're not getting too mired in any kind of discipline-specific verbiage to the point that you're losing a generalist. So what I always recommend is folks to get input, share your proposal statement with your colleagues, people outside of your discipline as well as people in your discipline, and get feedback from different kinds of people that you rely on to feedback, because if you're writing something that's so specific to your field that a generalist can't understand what you're talking about, that is not as strong a proposal as something that could be read both ways. So that's really something to keep in mind for peer review. We let you know one way or the other if you make it through peer review. Generally, November to January, we'll let you know. And then the applications then go to the countries. And then the Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board makes the final decisions. Grantees are notified of final approvals anywhere from February to May. And grant activity can start as early as June the following year. So on this next slide, I want to give you some contact information. We really, really welcome you to be in touch with us. Again, my Fulbright would be great to receive information from us, cides2.org. You can email myself, Peter Rauchy, or my colleague, May Anthony, PRACCI@IIE.org, or MAnthony@IIE.org. You can visit our website. There's a referral program where you can refer your colleagues if you think there are colleagues of yours that may be interested in a Fulbright Award. We're on all social media, so there's lots and lots of ways to stay in touch with us. So at this point, we have lots of time for question and answer. So I want to ask the questions that have already been asked, but I also encourage folks to chat in questions that you may have. So, we have a question about the Global Award. This is a great award. The Global Award, it allows you to go to more than one country. Most of our awards are country to country, but the Global Award is a very specific opportunity with the Fulbright program that allows you to go to more than one country. You do have to go to two or three countries in at least two different world regions. So that's something to consider. Now the Global Award, because this is a very specific award, we have a whole advising team that can really give you some great advice about the Global Award. Essentially, you know, for a Fulbright program, if you're applying to one country, you have to do everything for that country. If you're applying to the Global Award, you have to do that two or three different times, depending on, you know, in the same proposal, depending on, you know, whatever the parameters of you're doing. So that's something I'm going to defer to my colleagues on the Global Award Advising, and for folks on this webinar who are in Global Award, we'll share the contact information of the Global Award Advising team, but it's globalaward@iie.org.
And I just want to add to that, she did have a follow-up question. Is it more advantageous to apply to a specific STEM award or discipline award versus an award like the Global Award? And honestly, that really depends on what you want to do with your Fulbright Award. So it might make more sense for you to apply to something like the Global Award if you're doing a comparative research study of your specific discipline. But just keep in mind when you apply to the Global Award that there are people from a really wide, diverse range of disciplines also applying. So it's just something that you should really look at carefully and consider where you want to go and what you want to get out of your Fulbright experience. And keep that in mind in the back of your head as you look through the options.
We have a question about what is an appropriate institution? Can this be government institutions, NGOs, nonprofits? That will really, really contextualize in the award description. So some awards are open to any kind of research institute or cultural institute, universities certainly. Universities tend to be the biggest amount of the hosts. But many awards are open to NGOs, research institutes, etc. You really want to check the award description and read through what it says under locations. Many awards do allow you to affiliate with a whole host of different kinds of institutions.
We're also getting a few questions about the Fulbright Student Program. So the Fulbright Student Program is a great program if you have your bachelor's degree or a graduate degree, but do not yet possess your PhD. So if you are on this webinar and you have a bachelor's degree, I would recommend taking a look at the Fulbright Student Program. In general, most of the awards for the Fulbright Scholar Program do require a terminal degree, which does vary depending on the field. And on a related note, someone asked, is there any limitation between the student program and the scholar program? For example, is there a minimum amount of time that must pass in between? So there is not any stipulation. If you have received a Fulbright Student Program grant, you don't have to wait any specific time before applying to a Fulbright Scholar grant. But I would highly encourage you to talk about your previous Fulbright experience and how you want to build upon it or what you got out of that experience and what you're hoping to gain out of this experience. We really like to see applications that are compelling, that are innovative, and impactful. So we want to see not only the impact that you potentially may have on your home institution and home country, but also the impact that you might have on the host institution and the home country, and if you're working with students, the students that you're working with. So those are some things that you should be thinking through. And I will also mention that Same goes if for any other Fulbright program. If you received a Fulbright specialist grant, you should talk about why you're building upon your previous experience. But yes, the waiting periods are only for previous Fulbright scholars.
So we have a question about my school is a new institution in the U.S. I don't find it in your database. Can I write the school name in the second line? So I'm not sure what database you're referring to. Our scholar directory reflects our alumni who have received awards in recent years, and we do their inclusion at the point of their award. Some of the folks that are alumni, you know, they may have moved on to different institutions, but if they had an award, for example, at one university in 2012 and they've moved on, we don't necessarily update that. But if you have a new institution, we hope to get applications from your institution, and hopefully that institution will be reflected among our alumni. If you're talking about the application, we'll follow up with you on that. There are application instructions on how to indicate your institution if you can't find it, but we'll follow up with you on that. So we have a question, again, about the global award. One of the countries I'm interested in has a STEM award, South Africa. The other has no STEM award. Korea has no STEM award. So Korea is an interesting case because there isn't necessarily a STEM an award that's directly focused on any particular STEM field, but there isn't there is an all-discipline award in Korea that's sort of open-ended. But again, because that award in Korea is open-ended, I'm going to pull that award up. We're not going to pull it up on the screen, but I'll pull it up so that I can read the sort of fine print on that. But the Distinguished Lectureship at Yonsei University, that is a teaching award that's open to all disciplines. Even though it doesn't specifically focus on the STEM fields, it can accommodate projects in STEM. Now, because this question is about the global award, I'm going to refer the person who asked that question to the global award advising team. The global award, again, is a very, very specific award, and we have a whole team that advises just for that award. So at this point, I want to encourage folks to continue chatting in questions. We have time to answer questions, and we really want to hear from you. I'm going to scroll into some of the questions that we received earlier. So is there a STEM identifier that may be used to sort for STEM Fulbright faculty opportunities? There isn't a sort of umbrella STEM, but you are able to sort of drill down into the very broad specialization. So, you know, you can search for awards in chemistry, for example, or in physics, astronomy, or in the medical sciences, or in a combination of them. So you're able to sort of pick through the particular disciplines. I have a great question. I transitioned from being a chemistry professor to the dean of STEM. In my current role, can I apply for Fulbright? Absolutely. We have awards that are very focused on, you know, folks who are at a particular phase of their career. We have Distinguished Chair Awards. We have awards that are appropriate for folks that have a lot of experience. We also have awards for postdocs and folks that are sort of mid-career as well. So there's a wide variety of awards. You just want to make sure that you are able to understand what the parameters of the award are in terms of what the award is looking for projects and also the profile that it's looking for. But yes, absolutely, if you are a dean, you can still apply for Fulbright, absolutely.
We do have a question, if a project is interdisciplinary, how is the project reviewed? And I just want to reiterate that so there's many steps of review for a Fulbright scholar application. It's reviewed, first of all, by by a group of academics in your discipline, then it's reviewed by individuals who have previous Fulbright, who've previously had a Fulbright Scholar Award to the region, then it's reviewed by the Department of State, as well as the U.S. embassies and commissions abroad. So it is reviewed by a variety of stakeholders. I believe the answer to that question is that usually we have a committee here who will look through and assign a discipline to your application. But Peter, if you have anything to add to the interdisciplinary question, please let me know.
Thank you, Mae. No, that's exactly it. It's very, there are many eyes that look at your project. If there's sort of a confusion, we sort of make the determination, is this more like a chemistry project? Is it more like a physics project, for example? We'll make that distinction. But, a lot of it will depend. And if we feel that something is could kind of go both ways, we may have it reviewed multiple times. That may be the case. So again, though, there are many eyes that look at your project, but we do welcome interdisciplinary projects, absolutely. Depending on the award description and the parameters of the award, don't worry about that piece, we'll figure that out. Great question about competitiveness. Do we publish how competitive the awards are? So for the Scholar Program, we actually do not publish award application numbers and things of that nature. As you can see, with 470 or thereabouts awards, and each award being so very particular, it's really sort of not helpful. But you can get an idea of how competitive an award might be depending on the parameters that we actually lay out. So for example, if you look at the India All Disciplines Award, there are 45 grants under that award. But it's an All Disciplines Award, meaning that there's 45 people funded, but no one's going to self-select out of that award because it's open to all manner of different disciplines. The Iceland Cybersecurity Award, though, that's a very, very focused award in a particular discipline. So you're really not, if you're an artist, you're not really going to apply to the Cybersecurity Award. It's not appropriate. So a little bit, you can kind of get a sense of, is it something that, does it have a lot of grants, and is it very specific? Is it specific to a particular discipline or a particular institution? In the UK, you see a lot of awards that are at particular institutions. But I always love to reference the Midwifery Education Award because that's a very specific discipline. So not everyone's going to apply to a Midwifery Education Award, obviously. So depending on the country, depending on what your interests are, what the parameters of your project are, you may want to approach something like, for example, in Brazil, their All Disciplines Award has 30 grants under it. So you can get a sense that, okay, maybe this is something that I'm interested in if I'm interested in going to Brazil and designing my own project. But then Brazil has specific awards for STEM projects. So there's the FACEPI Award, where you affiliate with an institution in the state of Pernambuco in Brazil. There's also a in sort of any kind of STEM field, and there are specializations off of that. That's going to be, not as many people will apply to that very specific award as they will to the All Disciplines Award. There's also a postdoc award in Brazil in the natural sciences. So that folks that are very far in their careers, they really should not apply to a postdoc award. And if they're not proposing a project in the natural sciences, then they would not apply to that award. So you can kind of get a sense of air quotes, competitiveness. We never know who's going to apply. So it's sort of misleading to give statistics. If we have 5 grants and we get 8 applications that don't fit with that award, we won't offer any grants for that award. So it really is all about finding the right fit. And sometimes that's finding a very specific award. If you're interested in cancer research in the UK, you definitely want to look at that award. But sometimes it's an all-disciplines award that's open-ended enough that you can build a project that sort of fits the looser parameters.
Great. And we also got a question about what does an early career academic mean? Because that is one of our criteria, and that is something you will see on the website. So some awards are open to individuals in their early career, which we really roughly define as someone who has 5 years or less of experience. But honestly, it is something that can mean a lot of different things, because early career might mean that you switch careers and that you started off in one career, but you got your PhD in something else, and you are a postdoc, but you have had a very long career. If you are at all confused about where you fit, if you would be considered an early career academic, if you are eligible for an award, that's where we come in. So Peter and I and the other staff that works as regional and discipline leads for the Fulbright Scholar Outreach and Recruitment Team, we're here to answer your questions. I encourage people to send me their resume, and I can look through it and either let them know if they're a good fit for the award they're interested in or perhaps recommend awards. We do encourage you to do your own research and to take a look at the catalog and to take a look at our website, because we have a lot of resources. We are also here to help and to answer some of those questions if it's unclear from online, like where you fit on the spectrum. But that's a great question. And you can also, if you are an early career academic, you can search for award opportunities that are specifically available to you. Also, if you're looking for opportunities of a certain time length, if you'd like to only look for, you know, grant opportunities that are 5 months long, you can do that. We have a lot of, we realize that people come from different backgrounds and they want different things on their Fulbright experience, and we do provide as much flexibility as we can, although I generally do recommend just doing keyword searches because those do tend to pull up a lot of results, but we also have all of those really lovely drop-downs on the left-hand side, which can help you navigate and search for the opportunity that you'd like. And we are always also here by, you can set up a phone consultation, or you can just email us. Peter and I have our emails up on the screen if you have any follow-up questions as well. And we will direct you to the right people if we aren't able to answer your question.
Great question about the Western Hemisphere. Do we recommend working with Fulbright, finding a host letter of invitation in West Hem? So West Hem, many awards do require letters of invitation or prefer reach out to me. I'm happy to help you navigate the nuances of that. In many cases, either the Fulbright Commission or the U.S. Embassy will happily help you find a host institution. And in many cases, there are actually, we list the particular host institutions where you can actually contact actual people that are listed on our website to find a potential host. Then we have countries like Mexico and Canada, where some of the awards are, Mexico will place folks in some of the awards if you don't find a letter of invitation. Some of the Mexico awards do feature placement, where the Fulbright Commission in Mexico will actually find a place for you. And in Canada, there are many research chair awards where you can contact the institution about your interests, but you really don't have to get a letter of invitation, and some of them actually tell you not to request a letter of invitation. So, if you have questions about the Western Hemisphere, absolutely contact me. I'm happy to take your questions. We have a webinar tomorrow, Virtual Advising in the Western Hemisphere. If you can join it, it's going to be the same time, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. It'll be tomorrow, and then I'll walk through some particularities on the Western Hemisphere.
Great, and we got another question. Is it appropriate to submit for conducting basic science research in collaboration with faculty in a particular country, but not necessarily particularly or only applied to that country? So what it sounds like you're asking is, does the research you have to do need to be applied to the country that you're visiting? And what I would say to that is part of the application process is making an argument that you need to be in the country you're applying to. So your research should be relevant either to the people you're working with or the institution you're working with. There should be a reason why you chose that country and why you want to do the research there. That said, we're more than happy to talk about the specifics, and I can feel free to send me an email if you have more specifics you'd like to provide. And if, Peter, if there's anything you'd like to add to that, do feel free. But we do want to make sure that you take a look at our review criteria, and you look at, we're looking for, as I mentioned earlier, impact and innovation and feasibility. But another portion of that is making sure that, there's a need for you to be in country at that specific university. We'd be more than happy to talk to you about that if you have any follow-up questions. But, yeah, feel free to add anything if you'd like to that, Peter.
Well, thank you, May. I think that's really great advice. one of the biggest things I find are there are many reasons not to do something, and I speak to folks in the science, I can't do this on Fulbright. You generally may be able to. I encourage you to explore our catalog of awards. I encourage you not to self-select out. You can't practice medicine on a Fulbright, but you can absolutely conduct research or teach or, you know, feature projects that are involved in the medical sciences. I encourage you to consider the catalog of awards. We have many, many, many opportunities across all disciplines of the STEM fields. With that, we are just out of time, so I want to thank everyone that joined. We will be archiving this webinar shortly, and I will follow up with everyone with some digital resources, including the video of this webinar, as well as the slide deck with the hyperlinked awards that are throughout the PowerPoint. So at this point, I really want to thank everyone for joining us. We really look forward to receiving your applications, and don't hesitate to be in touch if there's any information or insight that we can share with you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you all so much for attending, and do feel free to reach out if you have any questions.